Okay. Need a little bit more volume, just a little bit more volume, because I'm going to go soft at times. All right. A little bit about myself. I come from Tampines. That's where I stay. But I work in Bedok. My church is in Bedok, Bethesda, Bedok Tampines Church, BBTC. I had the privilege to serve in that church as a full-time minister since the year 2004. And I got married in 2005. And and after that, after a course of about 7 years, I was doing the youth for about 7 years, and then I handed over to one of my very good friends, and then I'm continuing as a young adult pastor right now. So that's a little bit about myself. Right, tonight, we're going to talk about the fear of men. Before we do that, let's pray. Dear Lord, would you open the eyes of our hearts to look into your word? Holy Spirit, would you come, direct us, teach us, and show us the things that are of yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've got a question for you. Do you ever sing in the lift? Yes. Do you know that feeling when you're singing in the lift and you're going up to the 10th floor and all of a sudden on the 5th floor it stops and someone comes in and you're like, you know that feeling? You're like singing on the top of your voice and all of a sudden the lift stops and the door opens and you're like, and after that, what do you do? Pretend. Pretend nothing happens, right? Pretend you never hear. Try your best. Now, why do we feel embarrassed? We all feel embarrassed when that happens, right? Most of us feel embarrassed when that happens. Now, why do we do that? We are likely never to see that guy again or that girl again, and it's someone likely that we do not know, but yet we feel embarrassed. Now, the world calls it peer pressure or people pleasing, but the Bible has a specific term for this, and it calls it the fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted." Maybe something. I don't know about you, but I used to struggle a lot with this. I used to struggle a lot with the fear of man. And maybe something happened to you in the past that caused you to be afraid of people. For me, what happened to me was it started very young for me. I was very much afraid of the authority above me. The authority in the form of my teachers. And why this was so was because when I was 7 years old, it started when I was 7 years old. You go to primary one when you're 7 years old. I didn't start school in Singapore. I started school in the US. So I lived there when I was 3, and I started school then, and my framework was the US education system. And in US, there is no Chinese class. There is no Chinese class. So when I came back at 7 years old, at primary one, I went to school on the first day, and my Chinese teacher called my name in Chinese. And I had no clue that was my name. I had no idea what my Chinese name was, and so the teacher called the name and called the name and called the name, and no one responded. And so what he went to do was he went to call the other names, and by elimination, I was found to be the joker. So what happened to me was I got to stand outside the class right from the first day of school. Right from the first day of school. Now, of course, before he sent me out, he was scolding me in language that I did not understand then, but I do now, and whoa, it was difficult. And that was just the beginning of a series of standing outside the class. A series of scoldings that I didn't really understand. And something, that did something to me. It messed with me inside. And it made me afraid of authority figures. It made me afraid of Chinese teachers. They had the power to punish me, Chinese teachers. They had the power to punish me. They had the power to scold me and embarrass me in front of others. I believe that. And I lived that throughout my primary school days with the fear of Chinese teachers, with the fear of authority. Not knowing when the next punishment will come, I avoided authority as much as I could. I hated to go to school because it was the place they could get me. I hated it. I really hated it. Now, are you like me? Do you also have this fear? Not the fear of Chinese teachers, but do you have the fear of men? Today we're going to explore the effects of the fear of men and how to break free from it. But first and foremost, let's define the fear of men, alright? So, the fear of men we're talking about today is not a fear of people. We are not talking about a fear of people, which is androphobia. We are not talking about that, alright? So, which is actually defined as a persistent and excessive fear towards people or society. We are not talking about that. What we are talking about is the fear of men as described in the Bible. So the fear of men is this. It is when our lives are controlled because we fear what people think about us or what people can do to us. In other words, what people think about you control the way you live. That's what we're talking about today. What people think about you control the way you live. That's how we're going to define the fear of men, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, we think that the fear of men is played out in someone who is extremely submissive and often cowering in fear when there are people who are scolding you or people who are in authority, right? So, it is not so. It is not only so. The fear of men is also played out by those of us who hide it by being very loud and forceful. Hiding a constant need to prove ourselves to others by being the one to take charge. Because inside, we fear to lose their approval. We fear what they may talk behind our backs. And that fear drives us to make decisions, to take actions that are not in line with the Word of God or the will of God. That person who has the fear of men is a person, is someone who is defined by people and not by God. His life is defined by people and not by God. So, we may think, okay, maybe I got the fear of men. It does bother me what people think about me, but it's not such a big deal. It's not such a big deal, right? I mean, like, if you think about it, it's not that urgent. I've been living it for what? 10 years, 20 years. It's not such a big deal. Now, if we believe that, then what has happened is we have received the lie of the enemy. Because the fear of man is extremely dangerous. It is nothing trivial, and it is sin. You see, in Deuteronomy 6:13, it says, you shall fear men. No, it says, you shall fear only the Lord your God. The fear of men, first and foremost, is sin. And today, we are going to explore four things that the fear of men will do to us. It is absolutely important for us to eradicate the fear of men from our lives before it wrecks further damage. Point number one, I'm going to go through four accounts. This comes from Genesis 12. Let me read it for you. Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. It came about when he came near to Egypt that he said to Sarai his wife, see now, I know you are a beautiful woman. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. They will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say, you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that I may live on account of you. It came about when Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that a woman was very beautiful. Pharaoh's official saw her and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Let's skip to verse 17. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Then Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her for my wife? Why? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." The first point is this. The fear of men will cause the people around us. In this passage, we have a husband, Abraham, who is afraid to get killed. He is afraid to get killed. So imagine this. He's going to Egypt with his wife, and he's afraid that he may die. So he tells his wife, "Hey, wife, here's the plan. You pretend to be my sister." She's like, "What?" It's like, okay, so can you imagine what you would think if you were Sarai? Can you imagine what would be going on in your mind if you were Sarai? Now, people can get affected and even punished when we act out of fear rather than out of truth. When we act out of fear. Because the fear of men blinds us to the effects of our actions on others. So in this situation, who was affected? You think about it, who was affected? Right? The fear of men affects the people around us, right? So in this situation, who was affected? Number one, Sarai was affected. She was given to be another man's wife. Wow. It's like, wow, my goodness. You think about it. It's like, great plan, Abraham. Great plan. You're a great husband. You just gave me away. It's like, whoa, it just blows your mind. And that's not all. All right. So who was affected? Number one, Sarai. Number two, Pharaoh and his household were struck with plagues. Did you read that again? They were struck with plagues. Have any one of you been struck with plague? Have you had the plague before? No, right? In Singapore, we don't get the plagues. But Pharaoh and his household were struck with plagues. Did anyone die? I don't know. Perhaps someone died. You think about it. Imagine you are Pharaoh's baker in his household, baking bread. And all of a sudden, you have the plague. And your family has the plague. Your wife has the plague. And your little baby has the plague. They all have the plague. And you, like, what is going on? They have the plague. The fear of men will cause the people around us. We have no idea how our inability to act in the truth will and may have far-reaching effects on people around us. How people will suffer because we fail to do what is right. Because we act out of fear. How many times has vicarious anger gone round? What is vicarious anger? Let me explain to you what's vicarious anger. Vicarious anger is when your friend says something bad to you, okay? Your friend hurts you with his words, and you don't want to talk to him because you don't want to confront him. Maybe he said something to you, and you're upset. You're offended with him. So what do? Instead of going to him and says, "Hello, brother, I don't like what you said. What you said was rude, and it hurt me." Instead of doing that, you go tell your other friend, "Hey, I tell you something. Pray for me, okay? He hurt me with his words. You know what he did? Blah, blah, blah." All that kind of stuff. So what have you spread? You have spread vicarious anger because now this person B, is angry with him when he and he have nothing to do with each other. So that is called spreading vicarious anger. How many times has vicarious anger been spread? Because we wouldn't confront that brother or that sister because we did not like something that they said or something that they did offended us and we are unwilling to confront them. I have spent countless hours talking to people who are so fearful of talking to those who have offended them. And instead of doing the right thing, they rather gossip. They rather talk to their other friends and spread vicarious anger. And a lot of times, a simple relationship, a simple misunderstanding can be cleared up just by going to the person, but we don't do that. Countless hours talking to people who are so fearful of talking to others because of this. People who are afraid to do the right thing. Are our friends, our family members affected? Are your friends and your family members affected? Because we are afraid and we act out in fear. Is anyone around us suffering because we will not act in truth, but we act in fear? Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. The fear of men will cost the people around us. Is eradicating the fear of men crucial? Is it crucial now? Maybe not to Abraham, it wasn't, but surely to Sarai, it was crucial. And surely to the people in Pharaoh's home who got the plague, it was crucial. Brothers and sisters, let us eradicate the fear of men from our lives today. Today. And the people who have been bearing the cost around us will appreciate it. Let's see what else it does. Second account. Now this account is when David had to face off with a giant, Goliath, and he killed the giant, and this was the account that followed. It happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing, dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, with musical instruments. The women sang as they played and said, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now, what more can he have but the kingdom?" Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. Now, it came about on the next day, the very next day, that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of the house. Point number two is this. The fear of men will keep you from rest. You see, Saul was so affected by what these ladies had to say about him. He was so affected by the song they were singing that an evil spirit had ground to come on him now. He, the king of the land, was messed up by a song sung by some women. Ordinary women, folk from the town, made him upset. It really, really disturbed him. And from an outsider's point of view, well, it's easy to say that it does not make sense that he's so disturbed by this, that until the evil spirit had to come upon him. But if you were King Saul, how would you have dealt with it? How much does it bother you when you find out that people are speaking behind your back? Does it bother you? Does it mess with your spirit? Does it rob you of rest? Does it do that? Does it mess you inside? Would it have bothered you? Would it have bothered you so much that an evil spirit now has ground in your life? Sometimes our decisions to fear man will open the ground for the evil one to mess with us. So instead of taking captive those thoughts, we allow it to spin our minds into a mess and it robs us of our rest. How much does it bother you when people talk behind your back? That will be a test for us. Now let me continue sharing my story with you. As you know, I had a very traumatic primary one, right? So, primary one, Chinese teacher, trauma. Okay? So, what happened after that was, my parents said, "This is bad for my son, okay? Let's get him out of this school and give him a fresh start in another school." So I was pulled out of my first school and plunged into my second school. And this is a story that happened in my second school at the age of primary two. Not long before I entered the school, I was waiting for my school bus. Right? Little me waiting for my school bus. I had a spot that I used to wait for my school bus. It was next to the school gate. And there was one day where there were a bunch of boys. Okay? There was a hole in the gate. Someone had cut a hole in the gate and the boys were crawling through the hole. And I was standing there because that was my spot to wait for my school bus. Now what happened was this. The prefect came and saw the hole. Right? And saw us messing around the hole. But I was standing there. And what the prefect did was the prefect took down all our names, including mine. And we were hauled to the vice principal's office. I was waiting for my school bus. What did I do wrong? I was hauled to the vice principal's office, and all the boys, P6 boys, they pointed a finger at me and said, he did it. He cut the gate. All the boys pointed at me. Oh, I tell you, deep hurt, man. All the boys pointed at me and said, he did it. Now, the vice principal, without asking me a single question, started to ask me to stretch out my hand, and I got caning. I went back home. I told my mom. My mom came to the school, and she stood up for me. And you know what that meant? That meant that my vice principal hated me after that. So after that, he mocked me. Really mocked me. And I would get scolded throughout my primary school days after that. I was just mocked by him, I tell you that. It's horrible, man. I tell you, for the remaining years, I was so full of fear that every night I prayed as if I was going to battle the next day. Every night. It really, really upped my prayer life though, actually. That's a good side of it, no? But every night, you know, about 9 o'clock before I go to bed, I was like, oh dear God, save me. Like, every night I prayed, oh God, save me. It's like every night. I had no rest in my spirit. I had no rest in my spirit because of this. Oh, those were the years, man. Has the fear of man robbed you of your peace? Have you had sleepless nights because someone said something? Someone made fun of you? Someone hurt you with their words? Again, Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. It is possible to be free from the fear of men, to be free from being held captive. It is. We can be free. The truth is, as all things happen in life, for me what happened in my primary school days, the truth is we can't control what goes on around, but we can control what happens inside. So I'm telling you this, brothers and sisters, you can be free from the fear of men. It is possible. And it starts with our decision to kill it today. Let's move on. Scenario number 3. What else does it do to us? Now, this is an account of Saul, all right? Again, another account of Saul. And he was ready to get into battle, right? Israel was ready to get into battle with the Philistines. So this is what happened. Now, the Philistines assembled to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people like the sand, which is on the seashore in abundance. I have no idea what that looks like. That just blows your mind. 30,000 chariots. Okay. And men who are like sand on the seashore. And they came up and camped at Michmash, east of Ben Avon. Also, some of the Hebrews crossed the Jordan into the land of Gad and Gilead. But as for Saul, he was still in Gilgal. And all the people followed him trembling. The people were his troops, his army. They will follow him trembling. Now, he, Saul, waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And the people were scattering from him. They were scattering from Saul. So Saul said, bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offering. Ho. And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. But Samuel said, what have you done? Saul, because I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed days, and that the Philistines were assembling a mishmash. Did you see how big the Philistines were? Therefore I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. Samuel said to Saul, you have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. Point number three. The fear of men will rob you of your legacy. The Philistines were ready to go to war. Huge army, like sand on the seashore. And Saul was scared. He was afraid. The people were afraid, and they were scattering from him. And so Saul did what he thought best. The problem was that Saul was afraid of the Philistines, and he began to panic. You see, the fear of men will cause you to disobey the word of God. Here, God was ready to establish the line, the everlasting kingdom from Saul. If Saul had not feared men, we would not have the everlasting line, the lineage through King David. It would be from Saul. God was ready to do that for him. But here, his fear of men cost him dearly. It cost him his legacy. Every person from the line of Saul is impacted because this man feared. Every person down the line was affected. Have we gone against the word of God because we are afraid of men? Do we sometimes ignore God in the company of certain people? When we are with a certain group of friends, we behave differently so that we can get their approval, even at the cost of disobeying God. Are you afraid to walk out His commands today because of what people will think or what people will do to you? Every decision that we make has the potential to impact eternity in ways we cannot even begin to imagine. We need to deal with the fear of men today. We must deal with the fear of men today. Because if we don't, we may make a decision tomorrow that will echo into the halls of eternity forever. Do not live out of the fear of men. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. So far, we have covered 3 points. We know that the fear of man will affect those around us. We know that the fear of man will rob us of rest. And we know that the fear of man will rob us of our legacy. What's the fourth one? What's the fourth scenario? In Numbers 13, 12 spies were sent out. 12 spies. Now, when we think of 12 spies, we think that these are 12 scouts, right? We think of that. But actually, the 12 spies were the leaders of the 12 tribes, right? These were men who were leaders. They're not scouts. They're not your small, tiny scout that just go and come back. These were leaders of the tribe, right? And this is what happened. We went into the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we will surely overcome it." Right? So Caleb was listening to the word of God. But the men who had gone out with him, the other leaders, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great size." The fourth and last point. The fear of men will keep you from the place of blessing. These leaders of each tribe could only see the giants of the land, and they acted upon the fear of those giants. And this fear held them back from the place of blessing. It held them back. Now God brought the whole bunch of them out of Egypt and promised them that they will go into this land flowing in milk and honey, this land of Canaan. But because they acted out in fear, they never reached Canaan. Their fear of men stopped them from reaching their place of blessing. It stopped them. In Numbers 14 it says, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness." They never made it. They all died without reaching the place of blessing. They never made it because they feared men. The fear of men will hold you back, keep you from that place of blessing, from that place that the Lord has designed for you. You will never get there if you allow the fear of men to dictate how you decide your life is led. I used to work with a fellow leader, and I worked with her for about 10 years, and let's just call her Jane. And I worked with Jane in the ministry for about 10 years, and during that time, I noticed one thing. Jane was always withholding back from sharing with us her life. She was somehow reserved and unwilling to open up her life to us. You know people like that? You know people like that? People who are just unwilling to open up their lives. And Jane was like that. She was not willing to open up her lives. And for 10 years, I've been trying to talk to her. And finally, I asked her this question. "Jane, were you hurt as a child? Were you hurt as a child?" And she said this thing to me. "I was betrayed." She didn't say anything anymore. "I was betrayed." That was all I could get out of Jane. All that years of friendship and relationship, I had no idea of her past or what she was really feeling inside because she was holding back. Why would she not share her life with us? Why would she deprive herself of a holistic Christian community support? She was afraid that she would get betrayed again. And because of that fear robbed her of her church community. It robbed her of her church community. Eventually, Jane backslided and she left the church about 5 years ago. Today, I have no idea where she is or what she's doing. Her fear of men closed her to all possible future relationships. The fear of men will keep you from the place of blessing. Church, we have seen that the fear of men will cause those around us. We have seen that it will rob us of our rest. It will rob us of our legacy. And it will keep us from the place of blessing. The way to overcome this, and we must overcome this. The way to overcome the fear of man is actually not the fear of God. It's not that. But it's actually in the verse itself. Right? It's actually in the verse. It's found in the verse. For Yes, the fear of the Lord will keep us from sinning. It's true. But if you read the verse, it says this, the fear of man, Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. He who trusts in the Lord. So, the way to overcome the fear of men is to trust in the Lord. The way to overcome our fear of men is to trust in the Lord. Betrayals are real, and so are the punishments and the hits. But these things need not keep us from approaching the future with fear. They don't have to. We have a God who is with us, and He's bigger than any of these circumstances. He is bigger than any of these circumstances. And just because it has happened before in your life, does not mean we have to accept it when it happens again. And it is different, because now we can go into our future with God when we trust Him. Worship team, you can come up to the stage. I'm going to close with a final story. As you know, pretty much of my school life was a terrifying experience for me. It was bad for me. And can you imagine someone like me, what I would feel like when I was going to go into the army? It was bad. It was bad, I tell you. It was really bad. But because by then I had been serving in church, I had learned to put my trust in God at that point of time. So I tried to manage that fear. So I enlisted into army, and I was trying my best to be a good recruit in BMT. And I did everything I could. I was in an enhanced batch, but not long into BMT, my knee snapped. What happened was my meniscus tore and the ligament jammed between my kneecaps. So my leg could not bend. So I went to the medical officer. He looked at me. He asked me, do you have a history of such things? I said, what? No, I don't have a history of such things. Do you have any medical record you can show to me? No, I do not have any medical record to show to you. Then he looks at me. He looks at my leg, because when your meniscus is torn, when your ligament is torn, you can't see from the outside. It looks fine, but I can't bend my leg. It hurts. I just walk like this all the time. I can't. So he looks at me and he says that there's nothing wrong with you. He thinks I'm faking it. He sends me off. Why? Why do I always encounter people like that? My God. It's like, so he sends me off. He sends me off. I'm like, seriously? My leg? You're sending me off? Yes. He sends me off. So I go back to my camp, and my sergeant, my officers look at me and say, what's the report? And the report says nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. And so they think that I'm faking it. And for information, my bunk was on the fourth floor. We have many change parades with no elevator. How do you hobble up and down with a knee that cannot be bent? I did that for about a week. And during that week, the officers and the sergeants were accusing me of faking it. And faking and faking. I tell you, it messed with you inside, okay? It's like, oh God. And it reached one point at the end of the week where I was so, so at a loss that I didn't know what to do, that I told the Lord that. I went to the toilet, I cried to God, and I told God, God, if you are bigger than all the authority figures in my life, rescue me. And then I went out of the toilet. What happened? An angel appeared. No, okay? No angel. My sergeant appeared, okay? My sergeant appeared. And then he told me, hey, Darren, you have off this afternoon. I said, what? Why off? Your parents called a specialist. You have an appointment this afternoon. Go. I was like, oh, God, you are real. So at that moment, I packed my stuff. I went to see the doctor, see the specialist. He gave me a week's MC, and then the next day, he operated on me. He found the torn ligament, he sewed it back, and he gave me 3 months MC. You see, that did something in my heart that day. That did something in my heart. And I knew that God was bigger than all the authority figures in my life. And even though things are not going well and things are not moving the way I want them to move, but I realized that God was for me. Now, when you learn these things, you know, the situation, right, does not automatically change. Everything just like disappears. It doesn't. Because you know what? A couple of months later, another thing happened. So, after my 3 months MC, I went back to camp, right? I went back to camp. I was posted to a unit. I went back to camp. And in my unit, I received a letter that says I need to go for a medical review. This medical review would determine whether I'm fit enough to go back to BMT. I was like, oh, go back there again, have my legs broken again. That's insane. I can't do that. So what did I do? Immediately you think about it. The natural thing is go see your doctor and get a letter, right? Most logical thing. But I felt the Lord speaking to me. Don't do anything. What? Yes, don't do anything. I felt the Lord saying it. Just don't do anything. Just trust me, right? Don't be afraid of people. Don't be afraid of men. Trust me. Just trust me. It's okay. Okay, God, I trust you, okay? I trust you. So, I didn't go and get the letter. I didn't see the doctor. I just waited. I knew my date was approaching closer and closer and closer. And I remember 1 week before, I was talking to my campmates, and they were asking me, hey, your letter ready or not? I said, no, no letter. So they wave goodbye to me, and they prepare my exit plan. They say, you're going back already, lah. Gone. Wow. That doesn't help, lah. So, as the day approached nearer and nearer, and finally, that day arrived. And I was, you say trust God, right? But sometimes you trust God, inside your heart still beat very fast, you know. It's like, you're trusting God, but your heart is beating like crazy. And so, I remember that day when I went to the medical center, I took my number, I sat down, there's a row of guys, about five of them. And each of them had a letter, you know, a letter. Each of them was holding the letter. I was at the end of the queue with no letter. And all of them just discussed, what's the letter? Let me see. What's the letter? Let me see. Let me see your letter. Then they turned to me. What's your letter? I was like, no letter. Then they said, goodbye. The numbers start to flash. They went away one by one. And finally, my number appeared. So I went in. I remember I was holding the doorknob. I was praying. I'm telling God, God, you don't let me down. Oh. God, I trust in you, okay? I don't have my leg broken again, oh Lord. So, I turned the doorknob. I went in the room. I turned around. I closed the door. Now, as I closed the door, I heard a voice. Darren! I was like, so, I turned around. And lo and behold, I saw my friend there. You see, what happened was this. The medical officer on duty, my regular camp officer, was on leave. And my friend was on reservist that day. And he had taken his place. And so I went up to him. And he came to me. Now he was a friend. And he was also from BBTC. And we served together. And he used to take photographs for my events. Okay? He was our camp photographer. He's also a doctor. All right? So that's why he's on reservist. He became the camp doctor. He sat there. So he looked at me. He says, you going BMT, right? I said, yeah, BMT. You want to go or not? Don't want. Okay. He write, no BMT. Give to me. Within 10 seconds, settle. And he asked me, how's the photos? Nice or not? And we sit there chatting. Then he tell me, outside the polyclinic like that. Just chatting. I tell you, I cannot even begin to believe what just happened. When I went back and I told my friends what just happened, they just look at me and just shake their head. Just like, unbelievable. That was unbelievable. So, you see, the cure to the fear of men is to trust Him. The cure to the fear of men is to trust Him with all your hearts. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of men brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Church, if you are experiencing the fear of men in your life, make that decision today and say no more. Say that I will not let the fear of men keep me from that place of blessing. Let's just close our eyes and bow our heads in this time. And would you just take 1 minute to talk to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, do I have the fear of man in my life? Am I bothered about what people think about me? Do I live my life that way? Do I live my life that way? Show me, Lord. Allow Him to speak to you. Come, let's all stand. I'm going to open the altar and give a call for two groups of people today. The first group of people I'm going to call is, you're afraid of authority figures. You are afraid of authority figures and you are not comfortable with that. You don't like that. And you want to break free from that. That's the first group of people. When we sing the closing song, that's your cue to come up. That's your cue to come up and tell the Lord, Lord, I will not harbor this fear anymore. I know that you are bigger. And today, I say no. I will not let the fear of man hold me back from the place of blessing. I will not. The second group of people I'm going to call out are people who you are disturbed, you're bothered by what people think about you. You are bothered by what people think about you. More than you are comfortable with. More than it should. And it robs you of rest. You are disturbed inside by what people think about you. And somehow, you say today, I want to be free of that. I want to go into that place of rest and allow my life to be defined by what the Lord thinks of me and not what people think. And my life will be defined by that. These are the two groups of people I'm going to invite out. If you belong to these two groups of people and you are afraid to come out because you are afraid what people will think of you, because you are afraid how you will look like to your friends if you come out to the altar, that's also the fear of men. It is time to eradicate it today. It is time to say no to that today. If you belong to any of these two groups of people, as we sing this closing song, would you come out to the altar area? Tell the Lord, Lord, help me to trust you. And someone will be praying for you. I believe the leaders will be praying for you. I want to pray for you. I want to bless you that you will choose to walk in His truth, in His love, and not in the fear of men. As you sing this song, would you come?
Leaders, just come to the front. Yeah. If you're a leader and you feel that you also want to come forward for prayer, please don't feel obliged. Yeah, just come up. Just respond to the Lord. For those leaders who have not come to the front, please do come. There are still people waiting. For those of the leaders who are currently praying, I just sense the word from God is really to not just pray over them, but to later on or right now even just ask them to share their story to you. Just hear. And for those who are here to respond, just share. But I mean, don't take too long. Just share what you're feeling. Okay, and let the leaders minister to you. Let God minister to you. Begin to trust that the person that's ministering to you is not judging you. Yeah, but that you can trust that God has chosen someone to pray for you. Okay?
Thank you.
right? I'm going to dismiss the service, but for those of you who are at front, please continue to be ministered. For those of you who are here, I'm just going to close with a prayer. Okay, so let's all bow our heads as we pray. Father, I just want to bless, Lord, our youth, Lord, every single person to really trust in you. God, that they will find such rest in their souls this week. Lord, I pray that as they return back to their schools, to their homes, Lord, that there will be no fear of anything because they know that they can trust in you. And God, I pray for each of the persons in front, Lord, will there be such a great healing work that happens? We trust, Lord Father, that you are sovereign, that you are faithful, that you are loving and kind and gentle, God. We commit everything into your hands. Lord, I bless that the week to come, Lord, will be a week of breakthrough, Lord, for each and everyone who goes to school. Lord, for those who are in NUS who are having a recess break, Lord, I pray for a good rest for them. Just want to pray for the army boys as well as they book in. God, will they have a good week in camp? So we commit everyone into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so service is over. Please maintain the volume because of the ministry that's happening in front. Also want to say a warm thank you to the parents at the back who have been coming week in, week out. Really want to appreciate your parent, your presence, yeah, in our midst. All right, that's all for today. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.